Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. New place this week. Well, it's actually an old place. Used to be the Batemans in Reisterstown. It's Reeder's Crab House in that plaza, right up in beautiful Reisterstown. We'll be there Thursday afternoon. There's a rumor Alan McCallum is coming by. I will have Back to the Future scratch-offs. I may even try to recruit Luke Jones to come out and stop and say hello, but the Orioles are in town all week. The Texas Rangers in town, the Tampa Bay Rays in town. Luke and I will be talking Oriole baseball all week, despite the fact that this is a last-place team, despite the fact that they came one sawed-off shotgun away from getting no hit on Saturday at Yankee Stadium. And despite the fact that Sunday, I don't even really know what that was. I'm bringing Luke in. Luke, it was your niece's birthday over the weekend. It's hot as hell right now. They're in last place. The Rangers will feel comfortable with 92-degree game time temperatures. They move these games back to 6:30. There's going to be 5 degrees more to give them than 7:35 was with Rex Barney. But I don't know, man. The road trip, we had some hopes for them. We said some nice things about them earlier last week. It was a little bit of scuffling. It was a little bit of a mess. A little bit like of what the season has been, which is one day they can score a bunch of runs and look okay, and one day they can get a starting effort that looks good, and one day Gunnar and Adley and these guys will hit the ball, and the next thing they're on the DL and they're in last place. It's been a nightmarish year, and I thought it was a little bit of a nightmarish weekend in New York, and in the way that it was.
Yeah, I mean, this still comes back to the fact that they fell 18 games on, right? I mean, you have a 3-4 road trip. You don't feel great about it, but it's not disastrous. It's not embarrassing in a vacuum, right? You split with the Rays, who have a better record than you, and you lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. And, you could have, should have won on Sunday, and then it's winning 2 out of 3. The two losses that we think about on this road trip that were truly embarrassing were blowing an 8-0 lead in Tampa, and then on Saturday, as you alluded to, not getting a hit until the 8th inning and losing in blowout fashion in that way.
I'll
But
think about how they pissed away Sunday too. That was another that was its own
I
that
mean,
you put that in the in, you know put that in the loo for how to piss away a game at Yankee Stadium. And I've seen them. I mean, when I think of Yankee Stadium, specifically the old one in the late 90s, what, I almost got flippant and just tweeted this out. Have they ever beaten the Yankees when it, in any game that matters? In the history of my life, have they ever beaten the Yankees when it matters? I don't think the answer is yes. I don't think you can find an occasion where they've beaten the Yankees when it matters. I mean, there's games in 1993 where they won a game or whatever, but and it doesn't matter because they're in last place. Matters to them a little bit, but I do think when they go up there, other than that rat we saw that was this big during the playoffs 11 years ago, I it is a house of horrors. Anything is possible there, and the Orioles can blow anything in Yankee Stadium over the course of my lifetime. It's no wonder people hate the Yankees the way they do.
yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to define for me what meaningful games are, right? I mean, no, but they've won series there. I mean, they absolutely have. I mean, they won a big series there in June last year. That was their high water mark, right? So they've done that. I don't know how big this series was, really, if you're actually looking at it like the rest of the league looks at it right now, right? I mean, the Orioles are 11 games under 500. For me, I don't know if it was so much a nightmare as much as it's another missed opportunity, right? For me, it's not so much, oh, well, you went 3-4, and there's another week gone from the calendar now, right? Another week gone from the schedule now for you to make up ground, right? I mean, that's really what this we're talking about, the math at this point for me.
Well, the most
And
important thing to the team is that. The most
right.
important thing to the team is, can we make the playoffs? That starts the conversation. And most days it looks like they can't. Most
Right.
days it looks like they can't.
Well, and that's the thing. Look, have they played better baseball over the last month? They absolutely have. I mean, they've been, I don't want to say much better, like that they've been so dynamic that throw a parade great or anything like that, but they've clearly been much better than they were at this time a month ago, right? They've shaved, it was 18 games under 500, and after they won on Friday night, I mean, it's the first time they'd gotten it to single digits under 500. I mean, they were 9 under 500, but that just speaks to how hard this is. That speaks to the math working against them. I mean, they're at a point now as they come home, you've got 85 games to go. Yeah, it's mathematically possible, but you start thinking about it through the lens of you got to play like a 91 and a half win team the rest of the year just to go 500 to win 85 games, which, 85 and 77 would kind of be the, for me, the bare minimum that you need to really think you have a chance at being a wild card. Yeah, you've got to play like what, a 99.
19 over 500, 8
Yeah,
plus 11.
but you've got to play like a 99 win team the rest of the way. I mean, that's the kind of pace we're talking about over the last 85 games here. So, I mean, the math's just not working out for them. And I think even before we got to the conclusion of the weekend, Adley Rutschman on the IL now with an oblique. He's going to be out until after the All-Star break. Because, I mean, that's, it's a minor oblique, but that's a month, right? I mean, an oblique or a rib cage or anything like that, that is not something that someone rushes back. I mean, you
Can't
just
swing a
can't.
bat. You can't
Yeah,
throw a
you
ball.
can't. I mean, and this is someone who has two swings, right? Right-handed and left-handed. So you lose him. Westberg has a finger issue. Thankfully, it looks like it's not going to be it's not broken. X-rays were negative, but they've already said 2 or 3 days. But does it end up being more than that? Is there a ligament issue? Whatever. I mean,
Finger, you can't swing a bat.
but you have that with Westberg. You had a run of starting pitching, starting with Trevor Rogers in that 8-0 blown lead, where you had 3 out of 4 starts that didn't even go 4 innings. As a result, you option Yennier Cano to the minor leagues on Sunday, which I get it. He's had a very uneven season. He had a really bad stretch in May. I think this was much more they needed a fresh arm in the bullpen. Thankfully, Kramer gave them 5 2/3 and was solid on Sunday. But Sagano, last 3 times out, hasn't gotten through 5 innings. Eflin has been bad the last 2 times out. So every time it feels like they're gaining a little bit of momentum, they're playing better, more bad has cropped up. So you just look at it, and it's tough to be optimistic looking through that lens. You can look through the lens of, guys playing better, guys that were hurt all year are back, like Hauser and Westberg until Saturday, and assuming he's not going to be out here too long. But you can look at Gunnar Henderson being better against left-handed pitching the last few weeks. You can look at things like that, but there's still so much working against them. And it begins with the calendar at this point. I mean, it's just, whether you, if you don't believe they're good enough, I mean, then that's a moot point. But even if they are good enough to play pretty decent baseball the rest of the way, how well can they play? Because you just, the calendar's really starting to work against you in that way, especially when you look at it through the lens of the trade deadline. I mean, we're roughly, 5 weeks from the trade deadline. So I think when you come out of this road trip again, 3 out of 4, is it a disaster? Is it embarrassing? Just looking at that, no. But then you look at the fact that they dropped a game where they led 8-0. They dropped Sunday's game, which wasn't like a travesty, but certainly a missed opportunity, right? I mean, just look at the 8th inning alone. They had a chance to add on to their 2-1 lead. They didn't. And then Brian Baker, they were able to drive up the pitch count against him. I think he got a little fatigued as the inning went on, and he gives it up. Baker's been really good. I don't second guess him being in the game there. He's been, one of their very best relievers, but he
Well,
didn't
my
get the
thought
job
about how
done.
horrible it is I've seen 2-1 leads, 1-run leads in
Oh, I
the eighth
hear you.
inning at Yankee Stadium,
Of course.
and it's just
It's
how many
deflating.
Armando Benitez's, how many Ubaldo Jimenez's, how many, just I've seen that act before. That act where
Sure.
Yankee Stadium explodes late in the afternoon. They've been losing all day. It's hot as hell, and you go out of there heading home feeling like, oh, we lost 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, whatever it is. Especially when they're better than you, and they're better than you every year
And
because they
that's the
spend more
thing. I mean,
money every year. They're a better team every single year, always, unless you suck long enough and your genius GM drafts 5-1-1s and they all work out and their obliques aren't strained and the new owner comes in and buys good pitching instead of bad pitching and nobody's arms fall. I mean, all of these cautionary tales are things that your father and my father, they'd recognize losing at Yankee Stadium 30 years after my father's death. They'd recognize that. What they wouldn't recognize is how imbalanced the sport is financially, how screwed up it is that you have to lose for a long time and tell your fans you're rebuilding. I mean, the whole premise of it when you go play the Yankees is they should be in a different league. If they're playing in a different sport when they have five MVPs on the team, in the lineup in any given day. So I'll say that's baseball, and that's the unfairness of baseball, and I've been at that for 35 years. But for the Orioles this time around, I'm trying to find excuses for them this summer or find the pathway out that doesn't lead to the firing of Mike Elias or the emergence of David Rubenstein or the Cal Ripken bobblehead thing this week. We're in the middle of a really, really lost season, and I'm trying to digest exactly what this means for the Birdland members that aren't going to give them money next year, like my buddy Mark, and different people to say, and then the Roku thing, which we'll get to in a minute, because I pissed on Roku all last week. Buck Showalter and Jeff Nelson have made me true believers after a weekend of Roku, but I thought the broadcast was good on Sunday. We can continue to talk about them losing if you want, but I thought the broadcast was good.
Yeah, and I mean, full disclosure, I didn't get to rewatch the entire game, but I watched a good solid portion of it. I watched, I think, the first three innings, and I watched the last two and a half innings.
You should have heard about Buck talking about the humidity in Baltimore. I
I
mean, Buck was just fantastic. Buck was almost doing it to piss off Greg Bader. Buck was saying things on Roku that he could never say on Masson. Criticism, second guessing everything, asking Gunnar Henderson if the ball comes to you going to third or not with this when a guy's on second.
Oh,
Gunnar, like, either
Buck did
didn't hear
those
him
kind
or
of things.
pretended that he didn't hear him. But Buck was great. Buck was fantastic. And Jeff Nelson was great, too. I've known Jeff for 35 years, Catonsville's pride, always a great guy, always made me feel at home in New York. He took me around the Yankee Stadium clubhouse and introduced me to people on his team back in 98 and 99, so that I always had a great relationship with Chuck Knobloch and Paul O'Neill, like me, Roger Clemens. All those guys were great. So, I mean, and when Denny Nagel showed up, too, that kind of helped things, too. But, I love the Yankees of the turn of the century because of Jeff Nelson. So, yeah, there was all, and Joe Torre was a great guy too. But all of that being said, Jeff Nelson and Buck Showalter provided a better broadcast than anything Masson's ever done because it was interesting, it was
It was
compelling.
good.
It was a baseball conversation. It wasn't a patronizing Kevin Brown apologizing for everything that goes wrong so he keeps his job. It takes one day of Buck and Jeff Nelson and Mac Vasgersian calling a legitimate game and legitimately second guessing everything, acting like a manager, acting like a fan. What would you do? What should they do? What's the strategy here? Like all of that stuff that Palmer's not allowed to do that because they lose too often. I mean, literally, I found the broadcast to be really good. And they were winning for 3.5 hours of the broadcast. So, or 3 hours of the broadcast. So
No.
it wasn't anything flippant. It was just enjoyable to be in a baseball conversation that's not neutered.
Yeah.
Like literally, I watch neutered Rob Long cheerleading and Melanie Newman and the giant orange bird on her chest, and the broadcasters all have their bird heads on, and when there's a replay, they have to take the Orioles' side or Greg Bader will get mad at them. I mean, it was liberating to actually watch a baseball game at the bar with Buck and Nelly. It really was, because they
It
weren't
was,
huffing
but
on
there,
anybody. They were good. They were good.
right, and there's also a novelty factor to it. I mean, if they did the rest of the season, it might not feel exactly that way,
Well, they
but it
didn't
was
know a
good.
lot about
It
the
was good.
Orioles. I mean, Buck didn't even really know a lot about the Yankees. I mean, Buck's coming in off the golf course or wherever
Well,
he's
but
been and done.
I think what's interesting about it, because you and I have talked about this a lot, and look, I'm not going to sit here and say and defend everything that Major League Baseball is doing from a TV perspective with different streaming services. And we've talked about this. I mean, the NFL putting playoff games on streaming services, right? The world's changing. TV, I mean, TV in general, that industry in general is trying to figure out what it's going to look like because of cable and satellite going bye-bye, and will go bye-bye permanently at some point in the next,
Well,
I don't know,
newspapers have
10
chosen
years.
paywalls, right? And we
Exactly,
see how that
exactly.
works.
Right, and exactly. So everyone's trying to carve this out, but I think when you have something like this, first of all, as I said to you, Roku, it's free, right? I mean, it's free. I have a Roku device that I use to stream on my TV in my living room, so I'm very familiar with, the Roku has their own live TV channels that they do. It's free, advertise based, streaming television, right? I mean, that's actually a part of the streaming market, where you have Roku, you have, I think it's Pluto, you have Tubi. I mean, these are actually streaming services that are free, basically an email address, and that's it. I mean, they don't ask for a credit card, anything. So that's part of it. That is refreshing as far as the Roku thing. But I think where this is where, not just baseball, but I think the NBA is a big thing now. I mean, obviously the finals, the season ended on Sunday night. But NBC is going to be part of the NBA's national TV package again. There's been a lot of talk about nostalgia, right? The NBA on NBC and thinking back to those days. I think they're all looking for something that's going to differentiate their product beyond just, hey, we're showing Major League Baseball games, or hey, we're showing NBA games. And I think and we'll use Buck Showalter as an example here. How great would it be if you had, and obviously you need to have competent broadcasters. You have to have someone who can do it. Not every former Major League Baseball manager would make a good color analyst. But I think, how great would it be if you had one of these streaming services? Heck, I mean, it doesn't have to, whoever, NBC, Fox, ESPN, if they ever dip their toes back into baseball here at some point, which I'm guessing they will in some capacity, maybe not next year, but at some point, because it's live sports, and it's valuable to networks that are trying to
Well, look at what
survive.
the Manning brothers have done on
But
Monday night to be a
right. No,
side.
that's a great example. I think there's something to be said if you had a broadcast, especially if you're going to do a three-man booth like Roku just did. And okay, it worked with manager and former player in this instance, and Jeff Nelson and Buck Showalter, obviously know each other, all that. But if you had a, how about if you had a former manager and a former general manager, and maybe you would have a broadcast that, obviously, yeah, you're going to talk about that game, but you could also have the dynamic of a manager and a general manager. You're now a month out from the trade deadline. What kind of conversations are they having right now? It would be an opportunity to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit, and share a little bit of inside baseball, right? No pun intended, of in terms of just something different. Something that's going to differentiate your broadcast. I think one thing that I've noticed with some of these, and I'll use Apple TV as an example, because I had, I had a trial of a 2 month free trial of Apple at the beginning of the baseball season. So I did see some of the broadcasts. The picture's great. I mean, the technology that they use and all that, it's a good broadcast in that way. I found the actual broadcasters to be competent, it's bland. You don't really know who they are. And I think that's where it's maybe a missed opportunity. When you have one of these limited novelty kind of packages and you're not doing games all the time, it's not, Roku doesn't have a game every single week the entire season. I think it started in like mid-May or
And
late
they're all
May.
the weird 11 a.m.,
Yeah,
right?
yeah. It's either 11:30 or 11 a.m. And sometimes it starts at like noon. It's
It's
not,
meant to be like
it's a
replace what
novelty.
European football is, right?
It's a
It's meant to
novelty.
be the 9 a.m. game on a Sunday morning to extend your
Sure,
day,
sure. I
right?
mean, we've seen that with London games in the NFL now. They do it, between London and the other Europe games, you get, five or six games that start at 9 in the morning. But I think it's an opportunity, like I said, to do something creative. On the flip side, you and I have talked about this, the on-field in-game player interview. I mean, they did it with Gunnar Henderson. I think most of those end up being a whiff. I have heard a few on ESPN over the years. If you have a player who really wants to do it, a player who really wants to do it, not, hey, we're asking you to do it, and they, PR really needs you to do it, and then they're just like, fine. That's what Gunnar felt like on Sunday. He didn't really want to do it. And
He
that's
walks
fine.
over to second base and he
And that's
has to tell
fine.
everybody he's mic'd up because
Right.
they don't know. And
And I
it's
don't,
really awkward, man. I
it
mean,
is,
it's
no question.
awkward. It feels like I know enough about baseball. I've been around these guys my whole life before they threw me out
It's
20 years
weird.
ago. Like, this isn't good. Buck knows it's not good. Nelson knows it's not good. They all think this is a dumb idea. You're not going to get anything out of me. I'm playing shortstop. I got a guy on second base. Shut the F up and let me play the game. Like, it's the it
There's the element.
defiles the game. It really does. It diminishes the significance of the game. You could talk to these guys between innings, and the Masson thing turns into a disgrace. It turns into like a joke where they're throwing peanuts at each other. Like, I just do it right or don't do it at all. And to
And that's the
me, and you
thing.
shouldn't do it at all because there's no right way to do it. All-star game, fine, have at it. But I mean, and I think that's even goofy. But It sort of shows you how unserious the All-Star game is when they turn it into Max Packin doing that. I just,
I hear you.
it's not good. And I don't know how anybody in a meeting, male, female, black, white, baseball player, owner, anyone can go into a meeting and say this is a good idea. The players hate it. The coaches hate it. It's terrible for, it's not any good. So why don't they just say this is a bad idea to extend this? This is dumb. We've been trying this for 20 years. It's dumb. Do something else. Run the
I think.
presidents around the stadium. Do a shell game. Do get a hip hop DJ. Do something different. Talking to players in the middle of the game is dumb. That's it. I'll
Jeff,
never get down off of that. And that's not an old guy thing.
I
That's a
mostly,
competitive thing.
from a competitive standpoint, in-game standpoint, I 100% agree with you. It's fine in the All-Star game because it's an exhibition. I mean, it is. But I've seen a few here and there where it's good. But the only time it is, it's when the player is, a media good guy candidate, right? I mean, someone who is really thoughtful, really wants to do it. Probably, frankly, who players who want to do it? Guys who probably have thought about going into media after their career. I mean, that's probably so. I've seen a few of those over the years, but you're right. For the most part, it's not good. And I mean, heck, if you watch the NBA Finals, I mean, obviously they're not doing it in game, but they're talking to players now in between breaks and in between quarters and stuff like that, which I just think is insane,
Well,
especially
the
in
other
the.
thing that's dumb is grabbing John Harbaugh as he's coming
So,
off the field at halftime and trying to get 10 seconds out of him because it makes the network happy. It's silly.
But I think the point here, and this is where I think it goes back to complimenting. You like the Roku telecast. I liked it. I think they had a good, there was a good chemistry between the three guys that they had in the booth on Sunday. Is you're going to have some things that don't work out, right? You're going to have some things. Innovation doesn't always work out. I mean, look at the Oakland A's with bright colored baseballs way back when. Charlie Finley and some of the things that were tried. Bill Veeck tried different things
Hold on one
that.
second. I don't want to be too interruptive of you, and I always am, but you just said Charlie Finley. I am having his niece on the show this
Oh, that's
week.
funny.
She has written a book on it was her father was the business mind of Charlie Finley's brother. Her
Yeah.
father was Charlie Finley's brother, and he did all of the business because it was a little family business, the Oakland
Sure.
A's, right? But so I'm having Nancy Finley on. So I just want to,
That's
she wrote a
funny.
book, and I just want to throw that in since you
Yeah.
threw it out.
But the point with that is some of these innovations will fall flat and they won't last. I mean, I could think back to Fox doing the glowing puck with the NHL back in the 90s, right? In an era before HDTV, which, in defense of them, no, it didn't work out. No one liked it. But at the same time, what was one of the big complaints in that era? I mean, even today, to some extent, it's tough to follow the puck. So
By
you're
the
going to
way,
have.
the blue and red puck of that got the Stanley Cup to my studio.
So there you
Fox
go.
Television, when they had the rights in the early nine mid-90s, it was
Mid-90s, yeah.
1998. They brought the it was the year that the Caps lost to the Red Wings.
Oh,
They
okay.
brought the cup to my studio over in Towson. Well, I moved in here in August of 98. So it must have been like in April of 98, March, April, May of 98. They brought the Stanley Cup to me, and the whole promotion was I did sports radio. We had the Ravens then, the Orioles. They wanted me to talk hockey for a day. They offered me the cup in the studio as long as I didn't, because this is when Claude Lemieux was pooping in it on a Howard Stern show and doing crazy stuff. They brought me the cup, but the whole premise was watch hockey on Fox. You can now see it because the puck moves.
But the whole point with that is when you have innovation, and we've talked about this a lot, right? I mean, we've talked a lot about how are you going to grow your audience. We've talked about it specifically with baseball, but all these sports are trying to figure this out. I mean, the NFL is trying to figure out every way they can to stay on top, to keep the overwhelming edge that they have over the rest of the sports world and really almost the entertainment world in general. I mean, when you look at the TV ratings that the NFL does compared to everything else, not just other sports. But you're going to have some things that are whiffs, and you're going to have some other things that you say, hey, that's a pretty good idea. I mean, one of the things about the XFL that NBC and the NFL stole was, having the camera on a cable over the field. I mean, that was something that was a really interesting innovation, right? And that's something that the NFL stole from the XFL, quite frankly. So you're going to have things like that. Some of it, I'm in agreement with you. I'm not a big fan of the in-game player interviews by any stretch of the imagination. And for every good one that I have found, yeah, there are 10 others where they don't really want to do it, or they can't hear, the technology doesn't hold up properly. So, but you're going to have some of that, right? You got to take some chances when it comes to some of this stuff. And I will not beat them up too much on that kind of stuff, as long as they're delivering other elements that are good. And, again, I thought it was a good telecast. And, I think I've talked about this a lot when you're talking about the Orioles or any of these teams. We've talked about some examples I've cited that there have been some other teams in other sports that are struggling, and they've actually put some of their games back on free TV. And I think there's probably a sweet spot to find whatever the middle ground's going to be, as far as, yeah, you need to make your TV revenue, and you're going to have to figure that out. And baseball's going to have a work stoppage that is probably going to coincide with figuring that out in a couple years. But
Boy, every time you bring that up, I just shake my head.
I know. I believe me, I don't say it with any joy. I
I
mean,
wonder if
I don't
David
want.
Rubenstein knew about that when he bought in. Because I don't think Peter did. I think
I
Peter
mean,
just
who
bought the
knows?
thing. Peter had no idea they were going to go on strike. Peter made it up as he went along.
Yeah,
And it was all new to him. It was kind of like when Peter bought the team. It happened within a year, year and a half, and buying the team. And this doomsday thing of the end of next season is every baseball person I talk to talks about that. That is so not what this sport needs four decades into my coverage of it. You know what I mean? It's just
I
not
mean,
what
it's
it needs.
definitely not. I mean, you never want that. I mean,
Well, it
the end.
cost Montreal the franchise last time. It's true. The Orioles up tremendously. I mean, had the strike is the reason the Nationals exist. Make no mistake about that for you kids out there that have rooted for the Nationals at any point or gone to a Nationals game. They only exist because the strike destroyed the Montreal Expos. Like, that's really the reason they're there.
I mean, would Washington have gotten a team at some point? I mean, maybe, but it certainly wouldn't have been then. It wouldn't have been that team, right?
Maybe
So,
they would have stolen Oakland by
yeah,
now.
exactly. I mean, you never know, but yeah, I think if you're going to do some things that are different and you're leaning into streaming, it is nice to have some balance where you say, okay, with Roku, you literally download it, it's free, and you watch the game, and it was a good experience. So
I didn't
that's
even
good.
download it. I went to Roku.com. I clicked it, clicked it,
Yeah,
clicked it. It
you
said
can do it
free. I
that
hit
way.
it. It popped up. It was
I meant
kind
the
of
app.
gray at the top and bottom, and I thought, do I only get to watch this in sort of this tone? And then it kind of went away after 10 seconds, and I got the whole picture. And I was watching the game literally from the beginning, but I did think to myself, they've diminished themselves by doing this. By putting the thing on
I don't
Roku,
know.
they've diminished themselves. By playing at 11:30 in the morning, they've chased some people away, or some people
Or
aren't
did
going to
they find
watch
some
it or
people?
whatever.
They might have found some people, though. On the flip side, this is also about, as I was just saying to you, there, if you go and look at where streaming is right now, yes, everyone thinks in terms of Netflix and things that you subscribe to, but it's FAST, like I said, free ad-based streaming television, that is actually, it's starting to make a little bit of a dent in the market, because you have cord cutters who haven't subscribed to cable or satellite for years. And now they're seeing some of these streaming services go up in price. So guess what they're saying? I'm not spending all this money for eight different streaming services. So now they're cutting out some of those. And meanwhile, you have Roku Channel, Tubi, Pluto.
Boo-boo.
Yeah, but there are a couple like that. No, Fubo's a paid. I mean, all of them have some free streaming channels. A lot of it's like niche. It's old reruns, and like there's a Price is Right Bob Barker era channel that you can literally watch old episodes of the Price is Right. But the point is, baseball might have found a few people that way. I don't know. I think it's fine on a one-off. I don't want to see all Sunday games moving to 11:30, obviously. But you do need to do some things differently, and you're experimenting, and some things are going to work, and some things are going to get panned, and some things stink. And other things you might say, hey, that's a decent idea. We need to tweak this, but maybe we have
I
something
want to
here.
see the decent idea that really grows their brand, that gets them more money, that gets them more engagement, that gets them more fans, because they don't have that idea. I've been sitting here watching. I haven't seen any idea they've come up with. The Nets, by the way,
The pitch
saving
timer,
people.
the pitch clock.
Pitch clock.
That's abs do not diminish that. That absolutely has been a game changer.
Because the
We've
games aren't 4 hours
talked
long.
about it. Well,
Right.
there you go. You just said something that you said they haven't done anything. They absolutely did. Now, I don't know if it's had a great effect on pitchers' health as far as
I don't know that that's created new fans. It's made the old fans stick with it better. I mean, literally, I
I
don't know
don't
if they have
know.
fans because the game moves faster. I
Okay.
think baseball fans are
I
baseball
don't know.
fans.
But I also
I
think
don't know
that
where they make another Luke and Nestor. The only way they make another Luke and Nestor is if
I
Luke
don't know.
has his
How does
nieces
anything do
and
that, you
teaches
know?
them, right? I mean, I just don't think people are 35 and have never watched a baseball game and they're farting around on Roku at 11 on a Sunday and say, "Oh, the Yankees are
I
playing
don't
the
know.
Orioles. I'll watch that." It's not.
But I think we could kind of, but it's a very general question that you're asking, but you know,
How do you make a baseball fan?
but why does anyone like anything? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, you either like it or you don't. I don't know. And no, that doesn't, as I just said, yes, innovate and all that, but the game is a game. I don't want baseball to become football.
Well, don't make it harder for the people that already like it to find it. That's kind of my, that's where I've been. You know, those of us who are still following along, don't make it tough on us. That's all. And
I
if
don't
you want
know.
new people to find it on Roku, if you're convinced that you picked up new baseball fans, new
And I
Yankee
don't know.
fans, new Oriole fans, or that you've serviced them by doing an 11:30
I don't
game on a
know.
Sunday, I don't know. I don't know. You know,
I
I
hear
mean,
you, but and I hear you criticize a lot of what they do, but I also don't hear you suggest what they should do a lot of times. And that, I guess that's my point. I'm not going to sit here and say that I love that they put games on Apple TV. I don't. And there's not some of it is just, hey, Apple gave them money and they're going to do it, right? Just like the NFL is putting playoff games on Amazon now because Amazon gave them a lot of money. And I'm not saying that that should drive everything either, but you know, at the same time, you know, what should they do, right? I mean, if we're going to criticize, let's also be constructive then. And what should they do? You know, your tone to me almost sounds like, well, baseball is just for old people anyway. So I don't know. Like,
well,
so, you know, I
talking to
just,
Gunnar Henderson doesn't make the game more exciting. I would agree with you, the pitch clock. I've been
but a
wrong on
ten
that,
year
so
old,
you're right.
but you know what though? A 10-year-old might think it's amazing they talk to Gunnar Henderson. You know what I mean? We also have to recognize that every innovation and every, when you cast a wide net, not every single element is going to be for you or me. So I also try to look at it through that lens. That's why I said, you know, I'm not big in. I hate the in-game interview for a player that's on the field from a competitive standpoint, and most of the time it ends up not being that good. That said, there have been a few examples when, because ESPN, the Sunday night game, they've done that for several years now. There have been a few over the years where it's actually really, really good, but it has to be a player that really, really wants to do it. Someone who is a spokesman for their team,
Sean
basically.
Casey.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Anthony, it might have been Anthony Rizzo that I heard do it a couple years back where it was really, really good. I'm just like, wow, this is actually a time where this was actually really interesting. So I hear you.
There's a
And
lot more of John Harbaugh sassing,
no question, no
whoever's
question.
there, you
And
know.
believe me, the sideline halftime interview with a head coach or, you know, in the NFL or even the NBA, 95 out of 100 times, it's completely forgettable, right? You might get one or two times where they actually say something really interesting. You might get two or three times where they are kind of a jerk, and it's interesting in that way. But the rest of the time, it's the same paint by numbers question and answer that doesn't share any insight, and it was a waste of
John
30
Harbaugh wanting
seconds.
to kill Brent Harris during a preseason halftime was an all-timer for me.
Yeah,
That was an
and
all,
it was,
and
and that
that
was a
shows the real
preseason
John
game.
to me. That's what everybody should see of John, honestly.
So, but you know, again, if you're going to try to innovate, you're going to have some things that aren't going to work out, right? I mean, we all, if we're in any kind of space that has any type of creativity, we all should take some chances every now and then. And you know what? Sometimes it's not going to work out, and other times it will work out, and other times you'll say, oh, yeah, that was. Wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. I don't know if I'll do it again, right? I mean, so all these sports are trying to figure this out. I mean, they really are, because as we've talked about a lot, the TV landscape is shifting so dramatically that they're all figuring it out. And it's not just sports. I mean, all of these streaming services that have shows that they produce. And, you know, I've seen interviews where they're talking about are they going to have the revenue to justify spending the money they do to make the shows that they do, right? Because of subscribe subscribing numbers not only being at a certain level. So they're all trying to find a niche, in a world that's increasingly niche in terms of what everyone likes,
Well, that's why things like the show that Akbar Baja Biyamila does, these new sports that parkour and
American Ninja,
American Ninja Warrior, like all of these things that have nothing to do with baseball, football, basketball, soccer, as we know it, right? I mean, and even like the gambling shows, like the poker. I got Phil Gordon's coming on this week, by the way, a poker champion. He's got a bracelet. These other things that weren't traditional sports. I remember when Ted Leones has told me that all that your nieces are going to spend their whole lives watching a television screen of watching other people play video games against each other. Like that was going to be a thing.
That's actually, it is a thing. It absolutely is a thing.
No wonder these kids are a mess. No wonder the country's falling apart. And I don't know what to say. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke.
But it
We're
is a
watching
thing. It's
baseball this
crazy.
week and bitching about media. And well, I mean, we can get on. Listen, I'm as guilty as anyone of talking on the field, off the field. Do we have enough to talk about the Texas Rangers to do a whole nother segment, or should we just stay here and just say it's going to be 100 degrees and really hot and the team stinks?
Well, I mean, we've already covered it, but let's recap it. Adley Rutschman on the IL. It looks like he's going to be out until after the All-Star break. I mean, it sounds like it's not a serious oblique, but even a minor oblique is usually about a month. I mean, that's what you're talking about. Westberg with the finger. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention, man, what a nasty collision. Maverick Hanley at the plate. I mean, it was so jarring. And look, there was no, I don't think there was anything malicious about it. It's just he's coming for the ball. And what it was, Jazz Chisholm is running towards the plate. I mean, it was so jarring because that has been legislated out of the sport. The Buster Posey, rules that came in, and you hadn't really, I mean, home plate collisions had kind of decreased over the last couple
Well,
decades,
the other thing was
generally
the Chase
speaking,
Utley thing at
anyway.
second base. You know what I mean? Just taking out that Ray Fosse, Pete Rose thing. Yes.
But to see that happen, and again, I don't fault either guy. I think it's just it happened. It can happen, unfortunately. In the same way we talked about the line drive into the dugout with the Rays reliever last week, which thank goodness it sounds like some of the reports are that he's going to be okay
Well, we
and
all
is on the
remember the
mend.
cool ball tragedy and yeah.
But when you see something like that on Sunday, I mean, obviously it put the Orioles in a bind from the standpoint of, they had already lost Adley Rutschman. I mean, Gary Sanchez thinks he's getting the day off and suddenly he's catching, but man, that was just scary. I mean, it's a reminder of how the game's changed. In the same way that, like in the NFL, we see what the NFL is in 2025, and then you go watch the old NFL films of the 2000 Ravens, let alone going back and looking at like Mike Curtis and football players from the 60s and the 70s, where they're taking their heads off, and it's just how the game was played. But seeing that collision, I mean, that was kind of a throwback flashback of, man, you don't see that in a
I was
game
worried more
anymore.
about his arm, like
Oh, I mean,
and
he
then
just helicoptered
the
the way he
head.
did. But hopefully, I mean, I know Tony Mansellino said after the game they were going to be kind of evaluating him completely. He did acknowledge that, they're going to keep evaluating him for a concussion. He didn't say he's in concussion protocol, but at least said, hey, we're keeping an eye on him all the way around because we know that, I mean, that was just a nasty collision. So, between that, Gunnar Henderson, the ball or the bat flies over the screen into the crowd. You don't see that often anymore. I mean, it's just a weird day. I mean, as disappointing as it was because the Orioles lost, it was an entertaining baseball game. I mean, it was. The broadcast was good, but, when it ends the way it did and it caps a 3-4 road trip that, as we were talking about a week ago, felt like it was a really big opportunity for the Orioles. And they were 3-4, and that was with the acknowledgement that it could have been 5-2. I mean, they had an 8-0 lead in Tampa that they blew. And then Sunday's game was obviously very, very winnable, if not for the fact that you couldn't tack on a couple runs, some shoddy defense, base running, could,
They got
so
one hit on Saturday, dude.
and well, Saturday they got blown out. I mean, Eflin was horrible and they didn't do anything
Well, Eflin being horrible is a
offensively.
problem in a lot of ways for trading deadline for a
Well,
lot of things, right?
and even Sagano hasn't been horrible, but he hasn't been as good as last few times out. I mean, he hasn't he hasn't gotten through five innings in his last three
I
starts.
bet the hot weather's going to mess him up a little bit. I don't think he's pitched in that.
It's that. I think that's a factor. And hey, we've talked about this, whether you're 22 or 35, this is a game of adjustments. And the league has now seen him in a major league environment. He's had success. That's not to say he's not going to continue to have success, but they know
But
what
they
you
know he's
are.
not pumping
So,
99 either.
and that's the big part. And you've heard me talk about that a lot. When you're a guy that's not going to miss bats, boy, you have to be fine. You have to be so fine in how you dot your pitches, and you have to command your pitch sequencing. You can't be predictable, and it's tough. And that's not to say he's not going to get back on track and continue to pitch well, but his last three times out, 4 1/3, 4 2/3, 3 2/3 on Friday, and they won that game. So, hats off to them that they won the game. But man, if you're trying to stack up how the Orioles make this run that everyone's still at least holding on to a sliver of hope that they make, more bad has cropped up here recently, and that's the problem. When you fall 18 under in May, everything's got to go perfectly the rest of the way, and we're seeing that. That's not really happening. And
Well, you have to
I,
be the opposite of 18
yeah,
under, and they're not capable of being that right
it
now.
just
Not
doesn't
no
feel that
Rutschman
way.
in it, no
Yeah.
pitching, no
Yeah. The, I
no
mean, really,
not much,
I
really.
mean, really what happened? I mean, really the story of the road trip. I mean, even though we talk about those two terrible, 8-0 blown lead and almost being no hit on Saturday, but the road trip, 5 innings, 5 innings, 2 1/3 innings. 6 innings from Charlie Morton. That was, they really needed that one in Tampa. 3 2/3, three, and then okay, 5 2/3 from Kramer. Their starting pitching has started to backslide. Remember
And
their
that will
starting pitch.
backslide your bullpen every time.
Yeah, exactly. And their bullpen's been fried. I mean, that's why they had to send Yennier Cano, who I get it, had a really awful outing this week and hasn't been as good. But if you actually look at Cano over his last 10 outings or so, other than the one in Tampa, he'd actually been pretty good. So he has options, and they needed a fresh arm. So I think it was way more about that than, Yennier Cano stinks and we're not happy with how he's
He just had
pitching.
to do
So,
so many things that they didn't want to do.
yeah.
And in the years when like the Ravens have been faltered, they're playing players they don't want to play, players
Sure.
they know they shouldn't have to play. And the fact that the catcher was the catcher on that play speaks to, now they've lost the backup to the backup catcher.
Yeah.
And they don't want Gary Sanchez to be the catcher, so they're going to play for a month with a double A catcher. I mean,
I
Basayo?
mean, I, since we're talking about catchers, I mean, we'll see. When they didn't bring him up over the weekend, obviously there was a lot of reaction. And Mancillino made some comments that were, he was speaking in generalities. Look, Tony Mancillino is managing the Baltimore Orioles. He's not watching intimately what's happening at AAA right now. He's getting the reports. He sees the numbers just like anyone else. But, he made some comments about wanting Basayo to be in a position where he's completely destroying the league, and then people are saying, "Well, look at his numbers. Look how many home runs he's hit." I'll also point out, go look at his career starts behind the plate at Triple A. You're still talking about someone who doesn't have 30 starts as a catcher at Triple A under his belt yet. So that said, he is a special talent. Adley Rutschman is going to be out for about a month, it looks like, and who knows? I
Well,
mean,
they don't
that's.
want the kid to come up and look like Holiday did last
Well,
year.
and that's part,
Or like
see,
Mayo or like Kerstedt. Just
and that's
go
where,
through the guys at Stowers, the
and
guys that
that's
have
where I
failed.
struggle with this. And this is where we need to remember, AAA numbers are not the major leagues.
They're in
Look,
last place. What difference does it make?
hey, I will say this much. I absolutely want to see Basayo up here at some point, but is it now or is it
Does he have a
August?
better chance of hitting the ball 8 weeks from now or now, really?
I
Is he
think
going
the
to
big.
grow that much?
Yeah, I mean that, and that's, I don't know how much it's that as much as, where is he behind the plate? He's got a great arm. I mean, there are tools for him to be a catcher. A lot of people opined, oh, is he going to be more of a first baseman? Is he going to be a DH? He has tools as a catcher. Now, does that mean he's going to be a number one starting caliber catcher for a decade? Or is it going to be something that, we've seen guys, what, Carlos Delgado came up as a catcher originally, right? And BJ Surhoff was a catcher
Dale
originally.
Murphy was a catcher.
Yeah, so I don't know what his long-term path is going to be in that way, but I do wonder if you're not going to pull the trigger now. And I'm not saying they won't, because maybe finding out that Rutschman's going to be out a month changes their viewpoint rather than like if he was only going to miss a couple days or if he was going to miss a week or two.
Also setting the
But
expectation he might have to go back. You know, we're
well,
going to
and
bring
I,
you up, and that the
yeah.
hardest part is always when you send them backwards.
Right. And that's where I remind everyone, this kid's not quite 21 years old. I mean, that's what we're
He's
talking
young.
about here. He's young. He's an exciting prospect. I mean, I'm sure you've seen at least enough Twitter videos from the Norfolk's account.
I
This
see the
guy's
ball going out.
got some serious power. I mean, he
Yeah.
really does. But does that mean he's ready right now? I don't know.
Kobe Mayo has been hitting those for 2 years and isn't
Right.
ready,
And
right?
Heston Kerstad has great numbers at AAA, right, over the last few years. So we need to get away from, and think about it. We're also talking out of the other side of our mouth saying, oh, the Orioles have rushed these prospects. These guys aren't ready for the major leagues. And then what, at the same time, everyone wants to rush Masayo to the majors, right? So look, I'm not for or against it per se, but he is young. He doesn't have a ton of experience catching at AAA because he's had some health issues here and there that have, kind of limited him behind the plate the last couple years. But maybe they might be changing their tune if Adley Rutschman's going to be out 4 weeks, right? Which, I mean, Tony Mancelino said that most likely it's going to be after the All-Star break. So, because we're less than a month away from that. So, maybe that does change things, but maybe not. Maybe, I mean, hopefully Maverick Hanley's okay, or we might be seeing what Chadwick Trump might be back as their backup catcher or whatever. So, but this brings us back to what you just said. I mean, this season's just been such a nightmare in so many ways. And yes, the ways that I'll hold Mike Elias accountable, Brandon Hyde's already out the door, right? I joked with you a month ago. I said Brandon Hyde's going to have a better summer than anyone connected to the Orioles. And he is, because he's away from this and he's probably
Only
enjoying
one having more
himself.
fun than Buck on Sunday was
Yeah,
him.
exactly. So, but the injuries are a big part of what's happened. I mean, there's no way to downplay that part. It's not an excuse for everything, but it's absolutely part of this. I mean, how could it not be when you look at how many guys have been on the IL? So that's not absolving everyone. Let me be clear. I'm not being Mr. Apologist that everything's okay if they were healthy, but the injury piece is a massive part of what's gone wrong. And well, they're 33-44 with 85 games to go as they come back home and host the Texas Rangers. And the path is becoming less and less plausible, especially with some of the bad that creeped up on this road trip. I mean, it's the math is really against them at this point when you only have 85 games to go, and knowing what kind of pace you have to play just to get back to 500, let alone talking about 85 wins, 88 wins, something like that.
He's Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the interwebs. I am doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday in Reisterstown. We're going to be out at Reader's Crab House. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I grew up with a Greg Reiter and a Greg Reeder, and but it's Reader's Crab House, I believe. Reeters. It is in Reisterstown. We'll be up there in the afternoon on Thursday. Alan McCallum will be joining us. Councilman Izzy Patoka, who I've been threatening to have on for a long time, is going to be coming on to talk about state of Baltimore County. We had Julian Jones last week at the Y. So we're moving around, having some political conversations, having some community conversations, having some baseball conversations, some football conversations, all sorts of things going on here this week. We're actually going to talk about extermination and bugs and flying creatures and mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff as well this week, because they're out, including the lightning bugs everywhere right now. So, Luke, we're just days away from gold watermelon and proper heirloom tomatoes. So I'm into that all summer long. It's summertime around here. Everybody cool out there and keep the air conditioned down, keep the mojo together. The Rangers are in town playing the Orioles. Luke will be sweating it out with free complimentary hot dogs at Oriole Park at Camden Yards this week as the Texas Rangers come to town, and we'll see how that goes. No football right now, a little low key there. Hockey's over, basketball's over, and we turn our attention toward a war in Iran on the 4th of July. It's lovely. We're America. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive in last place baseball and how great Buck Showalter is. Buck, come back. I miss you.